as Pastor Kenny mentioned, be praying again heavily for Roxanne and Mark Popel, their son and stuff. A lot of people maybe don't know it, but again, Sylvia went through school with Judy and me. Because when she got saved, when she and Mark came, and it was because of the Stantons that they ended up coming to church and getting saved. And they're just kind of a blessing. That's why when you know people, you love people, you witness to people, you never know how where that's going to reach through that. And their son Jeff had gotten saved. James had gotten saved. And James had gone home to be with the Lord. But Sylvia, she was kind of special to me. She used to talk about how when you're in school, you don't pay attention. You know, you're a teenager, you're a teenage boy, self-involved. You don't really realize things. But I used to be terrified of you. She said, you were just too big to approach. And she said, but I always liked Judy. That's continued on through my life. They always like her. No. Okay. So tonight, the title again, as we're continuing our study of the series on charity, is All Your Things a More Excellent Way, and I'm adding a subtitle to that, Joe. That's not the new title, Joe, I promise. Hello, my name is Amber. No.
Just listening to a podcast.
Yes. The title is Charity, the Bond of Perfectness. All right? And again, as we started this series, we opened you with 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. Tonight, you can also open your Bible to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to get to there, hopefully. Yeah, but 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14 says, Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. And again, I have given you through the weeks both the biblical definition of charity, the 1828 dictionary definition of charity, and the Legault's definition of charity. I'm mentioning that again tonight. And that is the love of God flowing through the believer to others. And see, last week we finished studying charity as it was spoken of in 1 Corinthians 13. And I know sometimes Pastor Kinney's teased me about, you know, I have a message called The Never-Ending Story. Okay, we spent quite a bit of time in 1 Corinthians 13, and it culminates with verse 13. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And I want you to stop and think about that a minute before we go to Colossians. The greatest of these is what? Charity. You know what Christ Jesus told us in Matthew 17, 20? He said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, be remove hence and go to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. He's saying, if you have the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, the reason he chose that, if anybody knows anything about planting, that's one of the tiniest seeds you can plant. Mustard seeds are tiny. Okay? And he's saying, if you have that faith, you can move mountains, okay? In Luke, it says tells about the same thing, but it says you have the faith of a mustard seed. You can say to the sycamine tree, be uprooted and thence put to this place, and it's uprooted. You ever try to pull a tree out? A big tree? Okay. I got to the place where I couldn't do that. In my backyard, I'd cut the trees down, and then I'd call Steve, please. And he'd come over with a stump grinder. We'd cut it down as low as could, couldn't get it out. It went too deep, and I didn't want to pay someone to come with a big piece of excavating equipment and move it out. But it says, the faith is a grain of a mustard seed. So I want you to think about that. Do you also understand that the Apostle Paul, in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, tells us, but without faith, yes, I believe Paul is the author of the book of Hebrews, okay? But without faith, it is impossible to please God, to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's impossible to please God without faith, and charity's greater than that. Have you ever stopped to think about that? The greatest of these is charity. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity. You know what I'm saying? How great charity must be. Do you know it's a Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Your salvation is based on faith, and charity is greater than faith. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Think about that one for a bit. Okay? It's impossible to please God without faith, and charity's greater than that. You want to please God? You have to have faith. Faith is necessary for your salvation. It is necessary for you in your walk of faith. If you don't have a walk of faith, your life does not please God. Do you hear me? I don't care how many good works you do. If it's not a walk of faith, it does not please God. And charity is greater than that. So the reason we study this, I want you to realize the love of God flowing through you if you're saved, to other people, that's the desire of God. Okay? Now turn to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to get to Colossians, I promise. I'm trying to go through this quickly, but I was just looking at things and the way God spoke to my heart today. Okay? Yes, he does do that. Hebrews chapter 6. Look at verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of his of promise the immutability of his counsel. That means it's immutability. It can't be what? Can't be changed. The immutability of his counsel. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. So when something goes wrong in your life and you say, God, you're not being honest with me, you've listened to the wrong spirit. It's impossible for God to lie. There's no lies found in the Word of God. When people try to say, well, there's contradictions in the Word of God, I've handed them my Bible and say, show me one. Well, I was told, and I said, no, you show me one. Is there some things that we don't understand? The Apostle Paul talks about that. There's things. Okay, faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. So there's some things we don't understand. Doesn't mean there's contradictions. It means you don't have the understanding. Okay? By two immutable things which was impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon what? The hope set before us. Which hope we have as a what? Anchor of the soul. Hope is the anchor of your soul. Both sure and steadfast, which entereth into the within the veil, whither the forerunner for us has entered, even Jesus, made the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Do you realize that? The hope set before us, it's the anchor of your soul. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, and first part of that verse. Well, maybe I wrote down the whole verse, I can't remember. It says, hope maketh not ashamed. When your hope is right in the Lord, you don't need to be ashamed. You see how great the hope of God is? Because the love of God, now catch that, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The third member of the Godhead. Trinity is a theological term. It's not a biblical term. I was raised in a church that talked about the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The biblical term is the Godhead, the three in one. And the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost, is the giver of hope. If you're without hope, maybe you haven't been listening to the right spirit. I won't take time to turn there because of the sake of time and the time we started up here, but you could look also in Romans chapter 8, verses 24 through 28. And again, you see your hope tied to the Holy Spirit. If now abideth these three, faith, and charity is greater than that, and the hope of God and charity is greater than that, when it's one of the integral, it's not the only ministry, but it's an integral ministry of the Holy Ghost. You don't believe me? Doubt. Studies show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. Okay, the words of truth. It's greater than charity. As I said, one of the integral main ministries of the Holy Ghost to the believer. Remember, we're told to hope thou in God. In Romans 15 and 13, it says this, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. He's called the God of hope, and it's by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is what? Charity. The love of God flowing through the believer to others. That brings us to our text tonight, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We'll try not to tarry long in this. Colossians chapter 3. I can read fast. Can you hear fast? Okay. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That doesn't minister anybody when you read it that fast, does it? Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in glory. Mortify, put to death, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, this is what it tells you, this is what's part of the natural man. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. When you covet things, you're putting that, as, if that's an idol, you're putting that ahead of God. For which things sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. When you were lost, that's what you lived in. And it goes on and says, but now also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Boy, we could go so much farther in our witnessing if people hadn't heard some of the things we should have never said. Lie not one to another. Boy, we could go so much farther in our witnessing if people had never heard us tell one. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off what? The old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Who created all things? Jesus Christ. By him were all things created, and by him all things consist. Amen? Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, see, there's no people groups in the body of Christ. There's the Jew, God's chosen people, the Gentile, all non-Jewish lost people, and then there's the church of God, made up of Jews and all the Gentiles who've trusted Christ. There's not an African Christian, there's not an American Christian, there's not a British Christian, there's not an Indian Christian. They are Christians. They're one in the body of Christ. Lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man and his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. But Christ is all and in all. You catch that phrase? For the believers, the body of Christ, he is all and he is in all. Well, that's your own private interpretation. No, that's what it says. Amen? Now watch what it goes on and says in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the what? That's where the second part of the title for the message came, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. We're told to set our affection on things above. Heaven is more precious to me tonight. One I loved is there. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more hurting. Now, you know, there's tears in heaven. As those in heaven look down here. But heaven's more precious. Now, maybe after 1,000 years, I'll look her up when I get there. I want to spend about 1,000 years talking to Jesus and saying, you know, when I read this that hundreds of times and I still can't figure it out, what's going on there? Set your affection on things above. And ultimately, that's going to be Jesus Christ, who's seated at the right hand of the Father in glory. I'm going to get to come boldly in person, and not just in my spirit, before the throne of grace. Amen? Why? Because it tells us we who are saved are dead to the world. Colossians 2:20. Okay, you're at Colossians 3. Colossians 2:20, it says, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. That's the base parts of the beginning of the world. Why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? We're dead to them. That's why we're to set our affections on things above. We're dead to the world, and our life is hid in Christ. One day we will appear with him when he comes from glory. That's what it told us. Amen? That takes us through verse 4. Verse 5 through 11 tells us what we ought to put to death or put off because we've put on Christ. Because you are to put off some things. That's what the world will see that's different. Because we have put off the old man and his deeds and put on the new man. Put on the new man. That takes us down to, you know, through verse 11, where it says Christ is all and in all. We get in trouble. We get caught up so much in the cares of this world. Every time I think of that, I think of one who was an associate, and he was a preacher boy under the Apostle Paul. In his salutation at the end of some of his letters, his name is mentioned, Demas. And then we get to the end of Paul's life, and it says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. See, because I told you, charity is tied to love. Okay? What do you love tonight? The first and great commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and all thy mind. And the second is like unto the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He's all in all. And it brings us to verses 12 through 15. And you look there and it says, put on therefore, that's a statement because you put off the old man, put on in your Christian walk, put on, there's seven things listed. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing, forbearance, forgiveness, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgives us. We're to put on those seven things. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance, and forgiveness. There's seven of them. Sometimes you ought to just look at the sevens in your Bible. Now, Andrew, you're the music man. How many notes are there? Seven. And then you go to the eighth note is a new octave. You know how many basic colors there really are? Seven. Then the other ones are shades of some of those basic colors. 7 in your Bible is the number of perfection or completion. 8's a new beginning. I find it interesting. You go down through and he says, put on these 7 things. And the 8th thing mentioned that can only happen in the new man is charity. Charity. See, there's more in your Bible than what you think when you first read it. Above all these 7 things, we put off a bunch of stuff. You're told to put on. He says, put on charity. That's a new beginning for the believer. You have to learn to put it on. You ever watch a baby try to dress themselves or a little kid? Isn't that fun? Okay. The first thing they do is they start and they dump the drawer out and the clothes are all over the place. At least my kids used to. Okay. And they don't know how anything matches. We've seen kids, I'll pick on AJ. I think AJ tried to put a shirt on backwards. Someplace in my mind, I can't remember which kid it was, they put their shirt on their legs and they put their pants on their head. Thought it was funny. Kids don't know how to dress themselves. Their colors don't match. You have to teach them, right? And if you have a child who can bring colors and everything together and just look sharp, he's different. He is going to go someplace. I'm just telling you. All right? But he says, above all these things, put on charity. You have to put them on. You know what happens? As you grow in mercy and grace in your salvation, God says, put off those things from the world and put on these. And when you learn how to put them on, you're getting dressed. You want it to come all together. I've learned from my wife that many times when you get dressed, she always looks at my tie. And I would wear a paisley pink tie with a bright blue shirt, brown pants and a black jacket. They don't match up, do they? You know, and you know what Judy will say to me? No, if you put that tie on, honey, that'll just bring all the other things together. Do you know what charity does in your Christian life? Is you put on the things of Christ? It brings them all together. It's the bond of perfectness. You still with me? It's the uniting principle. That's what bond means. Okay? I looked it up in my concordance. So you know what it means in Greek, the word bond here? Because there's other times, okay, where bond is used. Okay, in the Old Testament, because you got a bond slave, he sold into complete slavery to his master. That's not the same word here. The word here means the uniting principle, the uniting thing that brings it together, the bond of perfection. We all grow into what? The new man. It's, you know what perfectness is? The state of completion. It's perfection. Now, I have Christ in me, the hope of glory, but I haven't reached perfection yet. Just ask people here in the church. Okay? Pastor Kinney's one level above me, but he's not there yet either. We were kidding today, and he says, yeah, we can, you know, we don't have any ego involved between the two of us. There's not there. Playing games, it's cutthroat. Okay, but when it comes to ministry, the Word of God, and we're talking, that's why this works. I need to get out of the way. Okay, his leadership. He reaches to me and asks me different things that he hasn't been exposed to yet. Okay, because it's Christ's church, and we're fulfilling a position here. Okay, and I thank God because a lot of men, when they retire, they don't get to continue to serve. And in the graciousness of that man's heart, I do. I still get to serve. I just don't have as much responsibility. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Okay? It's a uniting principle that brings us together. Now, one more text and we will be done. Ephesians chapter 4. And you say, you lied last week, Pastor. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. They are all different ministries, okay? Callings of men to those positions. There's no longer apostles. There's no longer prophets. There's people who prophesy when they give forth the word, but they are not prophets like the Old Testament prophets. And some evangelists, they're still them today, aren't they? And some pastors and teachers, because that's the job of the bishop, pastor and teacher. You see, there's no comma between pastors and teachers. A pastor should know how to minister to the flock, help take care of the flock, protect the flock, and teach the flock. Amen? For the perfecting, trying to bring you to what? To perfection? To the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body in Christ. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. The edifying the body of Christ, till we all come into what? Unity of the faith and unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a what? Perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in what? Charity is the love of God flowing through the believer to others. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the what? Edifying itself in what? There's an old saying, charity begins at home. It ought to. Between a husband and a wife. Between parents and children, grandparents, children, grandchildren. Charity begins at home. You know what Pastor Kenny and I both look at this church as? A big family. You know, how many times have you ever felt like you didn't belong in the family you're in? Same thing happens in the body of Christ. And generally, when you get your heart right, you know what happens? You realize no matter what you do, you're part of that family. And you know what we know from the Word of God? You're part of His body. You're part of His family. We're supposed to build each other up in love. It's the unifying principle, edifying itself in love. See Colossians 3:16, it says, from the whole body fitly joined, how? It works together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every what? Whether you think you are important, God says you are what? Important. Unto the edifying of itself in love. I talked to the Jeanette Demarest. She's a friend, Dan Demarest, was the man who led me to the Lord, and I'll finish with that. He led me to the Lord. I was talking to Jeanette. We're trying to make arrangements for Danny and her and Judy and I. I was talking, we had a date so we can get together. And Danny's been trying for that, but he works nights, and so we're having struggled with different things with this. And we got talking about different things. But you know, before I was saved, Danny, he has a gorgeous voice. I wish he was here. I mean, he has a solo recording voice, beautiful voice. And he's always sang in church, and we used to go to his house before I was saved, and we'd sit outside the campfire, or they'd have a ring of stones, and we'd sing to each other. And he'd look at me, and he'd go, "We are one in the Father, we are one in the Son, we are one in the Spirit, the great three in one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love." Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. And I'd sing that song with him, and he'd look at me, and he says, "But Brian, you're not part of that." I go, "What do you mean?" He says, "Because you're not saved. I'm a Catholic." And he'd debate with me. We'd go back and forth. It took a few years, but finally, you know what I realized? That I was a sinner in need of a Savior. Hell was waiting for me, and I needed to trust in Christ. And you know when I did, you know what I became? One with the Father, one with the Son, one with the Spirit, the great three in one. And they'll know I'm a Christian by my... And the greatest of these is all God's people said, amen.